We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Hey, very happy birthday shout out. The Hammer is 85 years young today. Man, what a legend he is. Hank Aaron, 85, and still sharp as a tack.
Dang, 85.
85.
Wow.
You could have your Barry Bonds. Hank Aaron is my all-time home run leader. I'm just saying. He is. He's my hall. He's mine. All right? I'm gonna take him. And 755 career home runs, you know, of course, legendary player and, what an ambassador for the game he's been. You know, we're so fortunate in this town. Sometimes, you know, we say, Atlanta's only got one title. But look at the people that we put out there, you know, some of the great athletes that have been in Atlanta. And it probably starts with that guy. I mean, 85 years old. Hank Aaron, happy birthday to you. Atlanta is always in your debt.
Yeah. 1957 NL MVP, World Series champion, 25-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner, 2-time batting champion, MLB All-Century team, and went to the Hall of Fame in 1982. That's what's up. I had a chance to meet him, man. He signed – you know what's funny? He signed a baseball for me when I used to live here in Fayetteville. And you know how when I was getting ready to move up north, somebody stole my baseball. They stole it.
That's sad.
I mean, it happens. It happens. But, you know, I was a young man, and I didn't put – it was really on me because I should have put it somewhere. I should have took better care of the baseball. So, yeah, it was on me.
Out of all of these years, that is the only Atlanta athlete that I've never met.
He used to be at Hank Aaron. Does he still own
the dealership, the BMW? I don't think he does. I don't think he does. And the Krispy Kreme. I missed him both times when he was
there.
Not one time have I met him.
Used to be there all the time, man. Yeah, I met him. I met him a couple times.
Ugh.
Good dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We, because of the affiliation of Turner owning the Braves and the Hawks and then later the Thrashers, we always did functions together. So there were a couple of times when our paths crossed, and he was always gracious with his time and was welcoming to those who had never really met him and spoke to him before.
You know, he's got such a great story, too.
Yep.
I mean, he does have a great story. I'm surprised that really there's been no definitive movie made about him. Maybe they...
Or 30 for 30. I mean, they right. make him for everything else.
Right,
nowadays.
Exactly. I mean, you would think. I mean, his story would make a... his run, just, you know, if you just focused on... on the record, if you just focused on the home run, you know, because it's funny because in a way, it's like the city ought to publicize that particular spot. And I said for a long time when they, you know, and I know that they've got it down there, but when they redid all of that with the Olympic Stadium and everything, I said they needed to, you know, kind of make it what it is, you know, into a shrine. And then the city ought to be, you know, ought to be more front and center because it's such a historical landmark, you know, in a lot of ways, not just a sports landmark, but I mean, an iconic landmark of life. And the story, the movie about, if you just centered it around that moment, and it was only about the week leading up to it and the home run itself, if it was just that, would be nothing short of awe-inspiring. If you got the right actor to do it and the right script, it would be phenomenal. I mean, to tell the backstory of Hank Aaron and what led up to breaking Babe Ruth's record, man. So there's that. So happy birthday, Hank Aaron, at age 85. The general manager of the Hawks, Travis Schlink, was on with us, and he said with the trade deadline coming up that he wants to create more cap room and have a lot of flexibility going forward. And so what I took from that was really kind of a minor point, that if the Hawks do make a move, you're going to see them take players with expiring contracts. So don't expect that if the Hawks make a move, it's going to be designed for selling and not purchasing. It's not like, even though they're you know, they play good basketball, it's not like they're quitting, but they're not going to be going out there with the intent of picking up talent that they can use going forward unless they just stumble into a guy. I mean, they're going to be getting expiring contracts used so that they can, you know,
cap space.
Right, cap space at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So they're doing a mini version of what the Knicks are doing. And when I say mini version, the Knicks are trying to create a situation where I think that the Knicks are tanking. They're the last place team in the NBA. They want the most ping pong balls. They desire Zion Williamson, and they want to go out and make a big splash with a couple of guys in free agency. And one of those guys might just be Anthony Davis. And now, here's this. Now, the Laker fan in Daryl has got to hear the offer here. This is what ESPN and everybody reporting, okay, today, with the trade deadline coming up. Now the Pelicans may just hold on to Anthony, but listen to this apparently proposed trade between the Lakers and Pelicans for Anthony Davis. The Lakers would get Anthony Davis, and they would take Solomon Hill and his desperate contract off the hands of the New Orleans Pelicans, Hugh, in exchange for Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Ingram, Rondo, Lance Stephenson, Beasley, and two first-round draft picks.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But from all reports that I've heard, the Lakers are seriously thinking about making this happen. They are seriously thinking about this. And it has everybody wondering what exactly is the Lakers' endgame. Because even with Anthony Davis there, him, LeBron, and whoever's left from this team that they're going to fleece, do you really think that that is a team that's going to make it out of the West and win a championship? Because that, I think, with when you're talking about mortgaging your future in those four first round draft picks, that's the conversation that you're having. And I don't think that's the case. That's a lot to give up for one player. And, oh yeah, by the way, he might not even stay. What is it, a year? He'll have a year left on his contract, so they'll have a year to try to figure out. They'll have a year in how many games you got left this season, whatever that is. They'll have that to try to, about 29, 30 games left, where they're going to try to figure out whether or not he's going to stay. That's a lot to give up for somebody who potentially is not going to stay. I mean, that's a lot. He can walk. And there's been reports, John, that say that he's not even considering staying a Laker, which I think is kind of crazy, because I'm pretty sure at that point they would have to, if they want him to stay, he's going to probably get max money. He's going to have to give him max money. So I would be curious to know where he wants to play.
Well, he has said where he doesn't want to play. He is Knicks Boston again. You know, they've been talks about, he said, nope, I'm not going to Boston, not going to Boston, not going to Boston.
So where does he want to go?
Well, one of the places we heard is he wants to go to Milwaukee to play with the Greek Freak. The other thing is, I believe he wants to go to the Knicks. I mean, because if you stop and think about it, if the Knicks are going to tank and they're going to have a chance with Zion Williamson, whoever they get at the top of the draft is going to be pretty good. And if you could get Anthony Davis, the top draft pick that you can get, and maybe an Anthony can induce another star to go to New York, go cut your own place. Whoever goes to New York, whoever goes to the Knicks and turns the Knicks into an NBA champion will be lauded forever. Forget about being the next Kobe. You don't have to share the spotlight with Kobe and Shaq and West and Magic and now LeBron and everybody else. Gail Goodrich, everybody else has come through here. The Knicks deck has been so clear for so long that the next banner that goes up, if it's your banner, you are a god in New York.
So you say you think he's chasing glory?
Yeah, I would. Wouldn't you?
I would argue, John, you could get that in L.A. if you go to L.A.
But are you always, Daryl, in L.A., let me ask you a question. And this is my sense from my time there, but you may have a different sense. Are you always compared to Kobe, Magic, you know, everybody else, Kareem? Are you always compared to Jerry West? I mean, Wilt, everybody.
You're always going to be compared to those banners.
Now LeBron, right?
Yes.
If you go and win a title, this is what bugged Kobe. When they won the first set of titles, they were considered. Kobe hated it, and he didn't. Those were Shaq titles.
Yeah, and he went out and got his
own. Right. That's why, because they were Shaq titles, and he envied the fact that they were considered Shaq titles. It's what Kareem hated about the fact that they were considered Magic titles. You know, Anthony Davis wants to get Anthony Davis titles. He wants AD titles. If he wants that, then he goes to – because if he's first in New York, whoever he brings with him, he was the first guy there. And so, therefore, it's his team. He got there first. Now, in the case of Shaq and Kobe, that wasn't the case because Kobe was there first, but he couldn't get the team over the hump. And they needed Shaq to do it, at least initially, until Kobe kind of grew into his own body and grew in – because he was so young when he went. If it were me, nothing against Milwaukee – you could go there, but that's the Greek Freak's team already.
I guess, and none of us know exactly what's on his mind, Anthony Davis's mind. But I would think, like, from a monetary standpoint, and to try to get as most bang for your buck and playing for a good team, it has to be a larger market team. It has to be, to me, I would say the Lakers or the Knicks. Milwaukee's a good place to play, and I'm you know, you got the Greek Freak there, but you and the Greek Freak, I still don't think you're that's enough people to win a title with.
No, I really don't think so. No, but how about Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and Zion Williamson as a front line in New York?
But you're But you're speculating on whether or not those guys will want to go there. And from that same argument that you're using, that Anthony Davis wants to cut his own teeth, making his own niche somewhere else, those guys might not want to be there. They might not look at it the same way he does.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm just looking at it from all angles, John. Now, if that happens, that'd be great for the Knicks. But I don't think all of that's going to happen for the Knicks. If he goes there, I don't really think that a lot of free agents are going to be ready to go there immediately. And then, you know, money talks. Money talks.
Well, the Knicks have two max contracts to give, and they have potentially the number one pick. So I'm just saying, if New York is, I know what New York's trying to do. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do something that would amount to Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Zion Williamson. Whether they're going to get that, I don't know.
Yeah, and this is the thing I don't understand about the New York Knicks. With all this time that they haven't had a major star there, what's the problem? Why can't they seem to develop one? Why can't they seem to get, like, draft one?
They did in Porzingis.
They got rid of him. But when they drafted Porzingis,
they were tired of him, though, man. They were tired of him.
I remember
the move happened too quick.
They drafted him. They were like, who? What? You remember that? When they was like, who? Kristoff, who? Yeah.
Well, now he's going to go down with the Dallas Euromavs and try and win a title down there.
Mm. How long did it take you to think of that one, John?
Just now.
That's what it is, though.
It just occurred to me. I see their direction. Okay.
I guess, though, with this Laker thing, John and Hugh, I think what really bothers me more than anything is Magic sold us on give these
young kids
youth
a chance.
Time. And then now you're getting ready to potentially mortgage your whole future for That's LeBron, true. Who may not necessarily be there five more years. You know what I'm saying? These guys can grow into that showtime.
And if I'm not mistaken, LeBron's back, but – that was the longest stint that he's had being injured, correct, in the NBA?
Yes.
And we all know that when you get a little older and you start having injuries, that's probably the worst thing that could potentially happen for you because it takes a while for you to recover.
If they made this deal, Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, Rondo, how old is Rondo? Stevenson, Beasley, and two first-rounders, who's the biggest loss? Kuzma? Yeah, that's what I think. I mean,
Kuzma.
Yeah, Kuzma. I mean,
and then Ingram would be second.
That's what I think.
And then Lonzo would be third.
Yep, I think Kuzma's the biggest loss. I think Kyle Kuzma's got some game.
That's the one that everybody's crying about right there. The potential loss of Kyle Kuzma.
You know, so it's going to be a fascinating 48 hours here to the NBA trade deadline because we'll see if there's any big trade. Now the Pelicans may not do anything. They may just sit on their hands.
They don't really have to do anything.
No, they don't.
But they know that the Lakers are in a position where they're fiending. They want him bad. They want Anthony Davis bad. And if they're willing to give up that much for him, if I'm New Orleans, I'll take everything that they're willing to give me.
Well, there are reports now that's saying they're Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Bucks are teams that he will sign long-term deals
with. Yeah, there you go. Lakers, Clips, Knicks, and Bucks. Yeah, that's what we just talked about. Well, we talked about three of the four, the Lakers, the Knicks, and the Bucks.
Or he changed his mind.
Yeah. Let him go to the Clippers and fleece them, man.
Yeah, that organization, they were on an upward trend, and then Donald Sterling happened.
They'll be all right. By the time they move to Inglewood, they're going to be bombed.
I know. I mean, and they need their own place.
They do, desperately.
Desperately, because you want to talk about second class. You walk into Staples Center, you wouldn't know the Clippers existed. I mean, you want to talk about.
They were doing okay when Blake Griffin was there.
Yeah, they cover up banners also, too, and put players' faces over banners. Get out of here, man.
Yeah, I know.
But you can't move that Kobe or that Shaq statue, can you?
You can't move the statues. The statues are all Laker and King statues.
That's what I'm saying. You can't move those.
You know, I said for a long time they should change their nickname. I just think the nickname has got, you know, San Diego Clippers. They changed it once. They were the Buffalo Braves, you know.
How long ago was that?
A long time ago, early 70s. Bob McAdoo and the Buffalo Braves, they moved to San Diego, became the San Diego Clippers. You know, change your nickname again. Because that Clippers nickname, it has no value. Might as well change it. What NFL headlines are coming? Those are some of the NBA headlines coming. Well, what NFL headlines are coming in the offseason? What's the headline going to be, let's say, for, oh, I don't know, Kyler Murray? Morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 99, the game on this Tuesday. Ricky John out in the bullpen warming up, working with Paul Bible on what's coming up top of the hour at 10 o'clock throughout the day. A lot of headlines on this Tuesday, and one of the things we're asking you is what you're looking forward to next in terms of post-Super Bowl and what's going to be taking place here and what you're most excited about. Are you looking forward to, and this is our Twitter poll of the day, on our Twitter at 929 The Game, are you looking forward to the debut of the Atlanta Legends, which is going to be very interesting to see how this works. They play their first game Saturday. First two games of the Legends will be on the road. They'll play at Orlando. Then they're going to play what will amount to the first, I don't know if San Diego's at home for their first two games, but one of the first pro football games in San Diego since the Chargers left I guess they're playing at Qualcomm Stadium. I didn't even think about it. I guess, where else would they play? There's nowhere else in San Diego to play. They have to play at Qualcomm. That's one. Another is the Braves season opener. Of course, spring training, knocking on the door, pitchers and catchers in a couple of weeks. Then Atlanta United's title defense begins in the 3rd of March, I think, against DC United, and they're already going to be playing in the Champions Cup before then. And then the Falcons offseason for the NFL, which is kind of where, you know, the NFL's offseason is such a big to-do. Combine at the end of the month, that leads you to the opening of free agency in mid-March. That leads you to the NFL draft in mid-April. Some of the headlines that I keep wondering, we have a couple of headlines today, for example, Hugh. One is that Zach Taylor, the quarterback coach, of the LA Rams, is now the new head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. And Brian Flores, who was the, what did you say, was he listed as the linebacker coach?
He wasn't listed. They say he's a defensive game planner, which to me sounds like defensive coordinator. But they said this morning when I was into the radio station, they said that he was the linebacker's coach. I don't know. I don't think anybody clearly knows what his designation was, but we know what it is now. It's head coach. So, you know, good for him. Good for him. Hopefully it works out for him. I just thought it was a little strange that he's going to be the head coach in the division that he once coached in, and that's the AFC East, you know, and he's going to be the head coach, and he knows the Patriots intimately, which I thought is like for Coach Belichick to let him go in the division. It's really, to me, that's kind of really telling.
Yeah, he'll be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Would they dare put Brian Flores into New England in the season opener against the Patriots? They could, because one of the other headlines that's bouncing around out there is that the Patriots will not play in the opening Thursday night game. Now, it has been the recent history of this game that the defending Super Bowl champion will host the opening game on a Thursday night at home against another big team. And, of course, you know, we saw that with the Eagles, for example, against the Falcons. But there is some thought with the NFL being the 100th year of the NFL that the league is going to put the Packers and the Bears at Lambeau Field.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I would not have a problem with two of the flagship franchises. Because I think, aren't those two of the oldest?
For 100 years.
Yeah. I would not have a problem with that. Yep. Would not have a problem with that at all.
Two 100-year franchises playing
in
the 100-year.
I tell you, this is going to be – for the NFL, because I remember the 75th anniversary. This is going to be a big deal for the NFL. And they're going to pull out all the stops. That's what makes this really exciting, is that you know that they're going to pull out all the stops for the 100th year. Because they've already kind of started. They kicked it off before the Super Bowl was played with that commercial. They really kicked it off.
Yeah, that commercial, if you haven't seen it, you should YouTube it. The NFL 100, it is a fabulously well-done commercial. It's truly great. I mean, not good. And we tweeted it out, too, on our Twitter, at 929. If you haven't seen it, you can also go to our Twitter, at 929TheGame. We can probably post that up again, retweet it, so you can look at it. We'll do that right now, as a matter of fact. Just don't bother to go to YouTube. We'll just save you the trouble. Just go to at 929TheGame on Twitter, and you can see it. If you haven't watched it, it is worth your 2 minutes to watch. It's tremendously well done. And so you'll really enjoy it. It's a great 2 minutes of television. So that's one headline. And now they're saying the Patriots, because they won't be playing on Thursday. This is all speculation, mind you. We haven't seen the schedule yet, but I think there's a lot of meat on that bone. and the Patriots will play the Sunday night game, the first Sunday night game at home against somebody, anybody that might be on their schedule and how they want to play that. Another one of the headlines that could be coming here is Kyler Murray. We don't know yet what's going to happen to Kyler Murray. Now, if you're a Falcons fan, we know what you want. You should want Kyler Murray to go into the draft. You should want him to stay in the draft, not go to baseball. And then when he goes into the draft, you want somebody to move up to take him in front of you, which will drive another player back down towards you at number 14. That would be a good thing. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm not sure which – do you have any sense of which way Kyler Murray is going to go with this?
I think he's going to play baseball. I really do. And the reason why I think that is, I think he's using the NFL as leverage. Because when you look at his stature as far as quarterbacks go, it's going to be tough for him to be a successful quarterback in the NFL, I think, from my opinion. So, yeah. So I think that he's using this whole football thing as leverage to get more money from Oakland.
Another headline that we're waiting for, the Nick Foles trade. Talked about it yesterday, the Eagles saying that they're going to tag him and trade him. And where will he go? Now, see, you have an interesting thing develop here in this offseason. You have three veteran quarterbacks that are going to be probably pretty highly prized. Now, not Kirk Cousins prized, understand, but there are going to be three veteran quarterbacks that are going to be prized. One is Nick Foles, the other is Joe Flacco, and there's already rumors that the Redskins have interest in Joe Flacco. And there are rumors that new Miami coach Brian Flores, Hugh, has interest in acquiring Teddy Bridgewater and getting rid of Ryan Tannehill and moving on down in Miami with a new quarterback. Do we know yet if Teddy Bridgewater is capable of playing full-time? I guess he is, right?
We don't know for sure, but I think he's healed well. I think he's done a lot to come back and be considered to be a quarterback, a starting quarterback in the NFL. That remains to be seen, though, John. I would say if I had to vote on it, I would say yes. He definitely deserves a shot at being a starting quarterback.
Well, that would be really interesting. Now, let's say Miami gets the new head coach of Brian Flores. They decide down in Miami that it's time for Ryan Tannehill to go, and suddenly you have Teddy Bridgewater in as the new quarterback. And probably a good move at this point. The Dolphins need a new look. They need a new feel. Flores is going to help their defense. They could use something new on offense. There's no reason they shouldn't change. Give me one. Well, what kind of success have they had with Ryan Tannehill? Well, what guarantee that you're going to have any success with Ryan Tannehill? I think the answer is zero.
Well, anytime a new coach comes in, he looks at all the film, and I'm pretty sure that he probably looked at the film and he didn't like the way that Ryan Tannehill was playing Steele's daddy. So he's going to want to come in, and he's going to come in with a guy that he feels that he can groom, that he feels that he can have a good rapport with, and that might be a Teddy Bridgewater. It might be a first-round draft pick. It might be somebody else. So who knows when it comes to that. But the fact of the matter is, when new coaches come in, there's probably going to be a quarterback change.
One of the other fascinating headlines is there going to be a bidding war for Le'Veon Bell? He's been out for a year. He's been out for over a year. Is there a bidding war for Le'Veon Bell?
When you say bidding war.
I mean, are there multiple teams interested?
I'm pretty sure there's multiple teams interested in him, but
because remember, he was going to become the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL, and he turned it down.
Yeah, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, like I said, I read somewhere this morning, they were talking about transition tagging him. That means he's been tagged for three straight years. So it's going to be one of those things, John, where at that position, he set out 1 year, he's going to come back, and if they transition tag him, who knows how much longer he's going to play. It doesn't look like he's going to get his money that he's looking for. It really doesn't. Because if he sits out another year, he's not going to get paid. He's not going to be able to go anywhere else.
And at that point, has he just made a huge mistake?
You know, on the outside looking in, John, I would say yes. But he's standing on his principles. He feels strongly about this. He felt so strongly about it, he sat out 1 year. He sat out the year that they franchise tagged him. So it's really hard for me to say that this is a bad idea, you know, because he's trying to establish precedent, and he feels very, very strong. He felt so strongly about it, John. What was his franchise number, like 20-something million? He missed out on all of that. He missed out on those checks. He sat at home. He didn't come in. So I can't be mad at a guy who feels that strongly about his position and how they're handling him, where I could pass judgment and say, oh, no, he's dead wrong for that. I don't even know if I would have the resolve to sit out the whole season looking at those checks that I'm missing out on. But I applaud him for that. I really do. I don't think I could do it. But if you got somebody that stands on their principle that strong, I got to give him props for that.
Well, what did you say, AT? I missed that. I knew you were in my ear. But
His tag last year would have been $14.5 million.
$14.5 million. That's a lot of money still, AT. That's a lot of bread to miss out on.
Walk away from $14.5 million.
That's what I'm saying. Now, because we're looking at it from a monetary standpoint. Oh, that's a lot of money. I wouldn't do it. But stepping back from it and looking at it, he must feel real strong about how he's being treated and what this means to him to miss out on that. Because like I said, I'm all about the bottom line. And for him to do that, this must be deeper. This is deeper for him than football. It has to be.
Will another headline be that Rob Gronkowski retires? There seems to be some growing sentiment that may be the case, that Gronk may retire. And, you know, I don't know when Brady's going to retire. Everybody seems to think that, you know, he's certainly back. He said he's going to be back next year. I think we all believe he's going to be back next year. The only thing I do know about Tom Brady is I am almost 100% certain of this, that when Tom Brady does retire, he's not going to go on some year-long, you know, extravaganza going around. I think Tom Brady's going to be one of these guys, Hugh, who does the whole thing with Forrest Gump when he's running, when he just stops and says, I think I'm done. And all of a sudden we get a headline, Tom Brady's retired. It'd be out of the blue. You know, it'll be just, I'm done. And he'll just hang it up. Now, could that happen tomorrow? Sure. Could it happen a year from tomorrow? Sure. I have no idea, but I just think when he makes that decision to retire, it'll be pretty instantaneous. But he says he's coming back next year, so we'll take him at his word.
I don't think he's going to hold on. It might be one of those where he retires at the top of his game. Who knows? It's hard to say, honestly, how this is going to play out for Tom Brady. You know, you look at the way that he played in the last Super Bowl 53, and you look at where he's at now. It's hard to say how if he's going to be the guy that just comes back and falls off the cliff. He might go gracefully into the night. He might do that. He might look like he can play another season and just say, you know what, I'm done. I'm tired. And I don't see, you know, honestly, I don't see Tom Brady being on television. That's the one guy that I'm pretty sure he's going to get a whole lot of offers to do a whole lot of different things. I don't see him doing that. I see him and Giselle doing just chilling, just hanging out. Counting their money and slinging that TB12.
Hey, the Hawks have a lot of big things coming up. Huge homestand, Kawhi tomorrow night. Kemba's coming to town. LBJ's coming to town. They also have a big event called the Mosaic Event coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about that next as we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Give me kind of the nuts and bolts.
Absolutely. So Mosaic stands for the model of shaping Atlanta through inclusive conversations. It is our annual diversity and inclusion symposium. This is the fourth one that we're having. It is tomorrow at State Farm Arena. It's from 2 to 5 p.m., and it is free, and it's open to the public.
So this is not about painting. Is it about paintings?
It is not about painting in the traditional sense.
No, yeah, because I know the mosaic means like the different pieces and stuff fitting together and forming together and things. Yeah. When I heard it, that's the first thing that popped into my head.
It's actually a metaphor because it really is about the pieces that are coming together to really have conversations around diversity and inclusion. So when we first started Mosaic, the first year we talked about race and gender in sports. The second year we talked about sports as a catalyst for social change. Last year we talked about disruption. How do we become disruptors to really get in there and stir up action and conversation around issues that matter? And this year we're talking about allyship. What does it mean to be an ally and how can we support marginalized communities? So if you think of it kind of as a painting, it really is bringing different people, different colors, different backgrounds together to make this beautiful mosaic, which for us is really a platform for conversation around change.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty great idea, John, because especially nowadays, you hear a lot of people who they take issue with athletes, especially speaking out on social issues. So I think this is a good thing to get people to understand that athletes are more than just the jerseys that they wear and the points that they score. It's a little bit more about, you know, the communities that they come from and the things that they represent. So I think this is a pretty good thing.
Absolutely. And it is very important for our organization in terms of making sure that we are diverse and inclusive and showing up in communities where we can help those that are marginalized. And this is one of the ways that we do it. And our players do it on an ongoing basis. So when they're not on the court, they are out in the community helping to bring about change on issues that they care about.
So 2 to 5 tomorrow.
Yes.
At State Farm Arena on Wednesday, and it is open to the public. And kind of walk me through the event, a little bit about how this will work.
Yeah, absolutely. And so doors open at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And so folks, if they don't already have a ticket, can get there early. Tickets will be available on site. The program will start at 2. We're excited about the lineup of folks that we have. So you'll hear from various folks Their stories around allyship. So we have Soledad O'Brien, who needs no introduction. She's award-winning journalist and producer. She will be there to make remarks and also to facilitate some conversation. She's going to be talking to Jason Collins, that many folks know is a former Hawk. He used to play in the NBA. He was the first to come out in any major sport as openly gay. So they will have some conversation around that. We also have our Hawks owner, Jamie Gertz, who is, in addition, is an actress and a producer, and very accomplished in her own right. She's going to be having a conversation again with Soledad O'Brien, along with an actor called named Richard Cabral, and really talking about their relationship and how that built and how they became allies for each other. The story is very powerful. He is formerly incarcerated. They developed a friendship through kind of a pen pal scenario. He gets out of prison. They maintain that relationship, and she helps him to get into acting. He went on to be Emmy nominated, right? So when you talk about allyship, their story is really important. We have Michael Skolnick, who is an activist out of New York, who does a lot of work around the Me Too movement, the Women's March. He's going to come and really talk to us about how do we get involved in a movement? How do you go from allyship to really being involved in a movement to help bring about change? And so you will hear these conversations from many folks throughout the day. We're going to present awards to two folks. We have our True Comes in All Colors Allyship Award. And so we will recognize Al Vivian, CEO of Basic Diversity, as well as Transformation Journeys Worldwide, who does a lot of transgender-focused education.
This is Andrea Carter. She is the Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility for the Hawks. It's 2 to 5 tomorrow. You say this is the fourth year.
Yes.
What kind of, you know, you want to have the impact? From the first 3 years, can you point to anything particularly? I mean, you've had an impact in the community. Obviously, the Hawks, Dad. I've done stuff with the Hawks. Hugh's done stuff with the Hawks in the community in the past, and then the team continues to reach out. I can see that directly.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's been impact. And so last year when we did a survey of the folks that attended Mosaic, you know, there were 92% of the folks that said they walked away learning more about issues than they did when they were in the door. There was a high percentage of folks that said that they were more committed to going out and being a disruptor and helping to bring about change than they were when they came into our building. There's an example of a local company that, after coming to the second Mosaic, said, hey, what can we do as an organization and how can we empower our employees to be engaged in this work as well? And so they started having their own internal courageous conversations to talk about issues that matter. And so we know that it's resonating with folks that are there. We know that they're walking away more informed about issues and more inspired to go out and bring about change. And we're hoping that's going to be even more so the case this year.
So you've seen this event grow every year exponentially?
Absolutely. So we have grown. This year will be threefold from last year. So this is the first year we're holding it at State Farm Arena, which obviously means we have a larger capacity. And so last year we had about 300 people that attended. And this year we're expecting over 1,000 attendees. And so that certainly speaks to the folks in this community are really hungry and ready to have this type of conversation, that they want to be engaged, and hopefully they want to come out and see State Farm Arena as well.
It is 2 to 5 tomorrow. Doors open at 1. It is free to the public.
Right? It is free, yes.
Well, we wish you the very best with the Mosaic with year 4 of this event, and you've seen it grow, Andrew, and so it's kind of neat
That's
to
a good
see
thing.
It grow. Yeah.
Especially, again, John, like I say in this climate, because we all know, was it last year, the shut up and play basketball things that were said about certain folks and everything, so it's good to see that this is starting to, you know, take hold.
Yes, absolutely. Come join us.
And more information at Hawks.com.
Hawks.com/mosaic.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Hey, Rick and John are going to be teeing it up tomorrow from 10 to 2 for National Signing Day. They'll be in Tequila at Stars and Strikes, 10 to 2 tomorrow on National Signing Day with Score Atlanta. So tomorrow's National Signing Day, and you can join Rick and John live in Tequila at Stars and Strikes from 10 to 2. Rick and John coming up top of the hour, too, on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.